listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And we have with us this afternoon a new group that, to be honest, we haven't heard about before, so it's going to be great for us to find out and for you, the listeners. And it's Forever Friends, and they're an animal rescue group. And we have Saskia and Lachlan with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Alan.
Well, I guess the first thing we want to ask, as we don't know anything about it, what is the Forever Friends Animal Rescue? I mean, we can guess that it's saving little kittens and dogs, but tell us a bit about it, please, Saskia.
Sure. Well, we've been operating for almost 11 years now, and I started Forever Friends in my living room when I lived in my a small unit in Hawthorne, just with a few animal-loving colleagues and friends of mine. And we started out just saving lives of dogs and cats from the pounds and shelter system in
Victoria. So did you go around collecting them from the pounds, or how did you get them?
So the pounds and shelters mostly offer them to rescue groups, ones that they cannot rehome themselves or don't want to rehome themselves, and who otherwise would be killed. So it grew from that to then wanting to help other species of animals as well, so pocket pets, you know, from rabbits to guinea pigs. And then when we moved out to the valley, we got 100 acres near Yarra Junction at Gladysdale, and now we help farm animals as well, so everything from horses to goats to ducks.
So obviously occasionally there is a horse picked up by the RSPCA or something, isn't there, because they're wandering around, but generally, how would you get the farm animals and maybe what you call the pocket animals?
So a lot of those animals end up in pounds as well, would you believe, even in the country. But we've even had sheep and goats come to us from the Lost Dogs Home in North Melbourne. They have, would you believe, sheep walking down Preston's suburban streets. We've had a sheep come to us that was found in the Footscray Cemetery.
Just by somebody's head in their backyard or fell off a truck?
Possibly. I think both. I think, yeah, some people are still raising them in their backyards maybe for meat, or they've fallen off the abattoir truck. So it's incredible how far the animals come to us from, and then also from people needing to surrender them. So it might be someone who's moving from the country to the city and can't take the horse with them, and so they need help with their animals, or Nana's going into a nursing home and, you know, can't take her cat with her. So we operate on those two levels.
So they don't go through the pound, do they? They would contact you and say we've
got... Yeah, they contact us directly, which is really good because we want to keep animals out of pounds and shelters as much as possible. Yeah. They're actually very dangerous places for animals.
Yeah, well, it's not good. Look, we're just going to take a quick break. We found out a bit about it, but we want to talk to Lockie in a minute and see what he does, because I believe, Saskia, you're the president of the organisation.
Correct.
And you were the one who started it?
Correct, yeah.
Right. So Lockie's got involved. We have with us the Forever Friends Animal Rescue Service. We've talked to Saskia. She's a big part of setting it all up. We heard how she started off in a little flat in Hawthorne, and now she's got bigger and bigger and bigger. Lachlan, how long have you been involved with the group?
Been involved with Forever Friends probably for about 4 or 5 years now. First started fostering dogs mainly when I was living in Carlton at the time. And then only in the last sort of just over 2 years I sort of found the sanctuary just by going to a working bee on a weekend, which we hold every weekend, and then just saw all this stuff that could be done there.
And you're actually looking after all the building, aren't you? You're the building coordinator.
Yeah, so currently for the last probably about 14, 15 months, I've been building the indoor dog kennels, the cattery and the horse stables as well.
And I believe you gave up quite a reasonable paying job to take on a volunteer job, so you've got to have a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people, but yeah, it was just I was in a job that I wasn't getting any further. I didn't see where it was going, and just was looking for something else, and this just happened to pop up at the right time, and yeah, I haven't looked back since.
So how did you find it? How did you find out that this group existed?
So it was basically social media is a really big thing these days, obviously. So that's, found it just by wanting to help out, and we were wanting to foster some animals. So we started fostering dogs. And then, just saw the sanctuary through a working bee post and, went from there.
Turned up there and...
haven't looked back.
As they say, the rest is history.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's terrific. How many animals would you... Well, how many animals do you think you've saved over the years?
We haven't added up all the animals this year yet. We're about to look at our December figures, but in the last 10 years, it's been over 10,000 lives.
That's terrific, isn't
it? So it's roughly another 1,500 every year.
So when the animals come to you, providing they're just a healthy animal, the RSPCA or some other group rings you up and says, we've got this dog, cat, sheep or whatever it might be. So they take you take them up there. Then how long do you expect them to stay with you and what happens to them?
It really depends on if they need any behavioural or medical interventions. So a lot of animals come to us in, they're young and they're in great health and all they need is us to get to know them over a couple of weeks and then we assign a foster carer who looks after the animal in their home if possible, or they stay at the sanctuary for a couple of weeks and then we put them on our website and on social media for adoption. So we invite adoption applications from all over Victoria for our dogs and cats and farm animals, but if they're an animal who's been neglected or abused, and we do take in a lot of severely traumatised animals, particularly dogs, it can take months or even years to get them to the point where they can.
Years.
Yeah.
It's incredible that a person will do something to a dog or a cat or any animal, isn't it?
It's horrific. We've seen everything from blowtorch injuries on a dog to...
Just put a blowtorch on
them. Just horrific stuff. And it's extremely traumatising for the volunteers as well as the animals. But, we go on that journey with the animal, getting them all the, specialist assistance we can, and that includes, their behavioural, emotional recovery that they need.
Some of them never get over it almost. When you get a dog that's been, we'll say a dog because they're easier to talk about, you've got one that's really been, or maybe a cat, that's been really traumatised, do you ever get them where you can't get them to a stage of fostering because no one will take them?
Yeah, there's definitely some over the years who've just been too traumatised to be rehomed. Yeah. And in the case of dogs, there's been definitely sort of maybe 10 over the last 11 years we've had to euthanise because they were human aggressive and just every intervention didn't help them learn to trust again.
Mainly just because they've been so badly abused.
Exactly. And those are absolute tragedies, everyone. But our success rate is second to none, and it's been... really good working with, large animal welfare groups like the RSPCA and the Lost Dogs Home, who often refer their most challenging cases to us.
They pass them off.
We don't have a time limit, and in their shelters they often do have a time limit. So
a lot of those do, if they're not gone within so long, they euthanise them, don't they?
Yeah, and yet some of these traumas the animals present with, they can't be fixed in a week. So that's why rescue groups are so important.
Same with a human.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're talking to the Forever, our friends of animal rescue, and apart from hearing a lot about the annual rescue, and I guess a lot of people out there didn't know about it, I certainly didn't, but we're going to talk now, specifically they've been given a couple of really terrific awards, and Lachlan's been given an award for being the Volunteer of the Year, so tell us a bit about, well, I know how you got it, you did a lot of hard work, but what does it mean to you getting that, Lachlan?
I was really surprised, to be honest. It's such a really great award to receive. There was a lot of other people nominated that have been doing such amazing things as well. To receive this, it's just amazing. It's really cool.
And we should mention too that we did earlier that you gave up a fully paid job to take this on and to go to a volunteer. So it's a bit of a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, had its challenging times, but it's all really been worth it.
Lachlan, what would you say is the best thing that you've done up at the sanctuary?
The best thing? Oh, there's been so many different things to just being with animals every day, different animals coming into care with different needs and going to pick up different animals from different properties around Victoria. And
so you go out and pick them up yourselves too?
Yeah. We take the float out whenever needed and go to people's properties if They can't drop them off. Basically, we'll do anything for the animals that.
So you'll go all over Victoria, do
absolutely,
you?
Yeah. It's one of the main jobs that people do with us. It's just driving to pick animals up, food supplies up, anything really. Yeah.
So when you go to someone's property, we'll say you go down, Nil or Swan Hill or something like that. So, because I know you've got somebody down Warrnambool that doesn't work for you.
Yep.
What's the reason that the people ring you up and come and get that animal?
I feel generally mainly like a deceased estate, if they've had animals on their property and or if the person's going into a retirement home or just can't look after the animal at the time. If times are tough and they can't feed them anymore, we'll take them in and give them a good home.
So out of the animals that you get, we've been talking about you getting it from, I don't want to just keep talking about the RSPCA because there are a lot of other groups. There's a Lost Dogs Home and all sorts of things, so I don't want to pick on one. Would you get more of your animals, I guess mainly the smaller ones, but do you get more of your animals through those sorts of organisations than you do from people handing them over to you, or would it be the other way around? No good nodding your head. I can't hear you, Saskia.
I was going to let Lachlan answer that. Yeah, we work primarily with the pounds and shelters to focus on those because those are where the animals are, in the most danger and, are on death row. Yep. People that need to surrender their animals often have a bit more flexibility and time available to let us know and for us to prepare. But it's the pounds and shelters, particularly the country pounds, that really need animals out very, very quickly. They've got very limited facilities. And
so how's they found out about you? How have these pounds, how do they know to give you a ring?
I think originally I contacted a lot of them to let them know that I'd set the group up and legally then the pound or shelter produces a contract which we have to sign that says, we're going to partner with you to pass animals to your care you have to, look after them and... so it just happens that way. And then we either get an emailed list from pounds and shelters or they give us a call and just tell us about the animals in need and what they know about them. And then we try and match them with a foster carer.
Well, say they've got a sheep or a horse or a cow or something. Do they still keep them for an amount of time or do they try to get rid of them as quick as they can down to you?
The pounds and shelters.
Yeah.
It's normally, it's pretty much quite a bit of pressure. Yeah, they do want them out quickly, particularly the country pounds. They have very limited resources and they just, if it's a horse or a goat, they might only have a tiny holding yard. So it can be really urgent.
Quick question, and then I'll just take another break, but do you very often get a case where a pound at Timbuktu rings you up and says, we've got a horse here or we've got a cow, whatever it is. And then a few days later they say, whoops, that got out of Joe Blow's farm. We need them back. Do you get that happen at all?
Very rarely. Normally the law is each pound and shelter has to hold a stray animal for 8 days.
But even if it's a horse or a cow?
Yeah. So that gives the owner a chance to reclaim them.
Yep.
Yeah, occasionally we've had a dog come in who the owner has, not reclaimed within 8 days. The pounds pass the animal to us and then that owner's turned up at the pound like weeks later saying, I want my dog back. And the council or the pound, has to say, sorry, it's gone to another rescue group. And sometimes they've given our name and then that very angry owner has contacted us saying, we want our dog back. And that's a bit awkward because, legal ownership has passed to us and we might have adopted them out already. So, it can be a bit messy at times.
Never thought of it. Saskia, now we know that you've got two awards. We've talked to Lachlan about the Volunteer of the Award. Of the year award, but you got another one, didn't you? And the Outstanding Rescue Group.
That's correct, in the Companion Animal Rescue Awards, which have been running for about 4 years now.
Comes as a surprise to you?
Well, we'd been a finalist for the last 3 years before that, so I sort of thought if we don't get it this year, we perhaps should stop applying. But it's a great Australia-wide awards that has been set up by one woman called Kathy Beer to really recognise the work that animal rescue organisations do all over Australia who are 99% run by volunteers. So,
and we should mention that apart from a few well, not so much sponsorships, a few grants that you're able to pick up, and they're just normally one-offs. That you're basically funding most of this yourself, aren't you?
Correct, yeah. We don't receive any government funding, no council funding. We rely on community donations and always looking for sponsors as well to help us. The adoption fees help cover some of the medical expenses, and our vet bills are up to $50,000 a month now. So it's a huge financial commitment, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Lachlan, part of this... part of this whole gig is volunteers, because when you're not being funded, you can't afford to be paying people. And you're one of the volunteers, but I believe you've got an opening of something that you're building at the moment coming up. Tell us a bit about that, please.
Yeah, so basically what I've been building, with a lot of help from a lot of people in the local community and a lot of people I've met over my time in the construction industry. So we're opening the dog kennels, which will hold up 10 dogs, but it's also got a lounge room, meeting room, storage room, etc. And then also the cattery, which will hold, I can't remember how many.
20 or so, yeah, depending on kittens.
20 and cats. Mm. And then also the horse stables as well. So, yeah, over the last 16 months, I've been building that with a lot of, as I said, people in the local areas, and also people I've been working with over the last 12, 15 years. We have a whole range of different skills. So,
I guess if there are people... looking out there today that want to fill in a bit of time and feel as though they're doing something, I guess you're always looking for volunteers, aren't you?
Absolutely. There's something for everyone up at the sanctuary, all the way from down picking up horse poo or walking dogs or any construction work at all. There's anyone who comes up, there's always something. There's always a full day for them, and no one ever comes up once.
And I guess you've got a website, which is a three wobble wobble wobble, foreverfriends, all one word, .org.au. That's foreverfriends, one word, .org.au. So I guess if we've got people listening, and I know we've got quite a number of retirees listening who feel that they could give you a bit of time, if they looked up the website, I've looked it up, it's a terrific website, you can find out all about it, can't you? And you can even put your name down to come and volunteer.
Absolutely.
That's right. And there's something for everyone at the sanctuary. You don't need to be young and fit. Sometimes we need people just to sit and pat the cats or, spend time with the dogs. You don't have to, be able to walk them or, wrangle a goat or anything.
No, there's always something.
Yeah. So at the moment, what sort of animals have you got? You got the dogs, you got the cats. What else?
We have a lot of sheep, goats at the moment. Over the last 12 months, we've had a massive influx of horses.
Again, just people handing them in?
Ex-race horses, people who can't look after them anymore. But we've been lucky enough to be able to rehome a lot of those horses in the last sort of 6 months, I guess.
Yep.
There's pigs there, there's chickens there.
Trying to grasp it, I can understand people dumping a dog because, unfortunately, they just think they don't want to keep it anymore. But how do people sort of dump sheep and pigs and all that sort of stuff? How do they come to you?
Either through the pound or people contacting us saying they just can't look after them anymore. And that's what we'd rather them do than take them to the slaughterhouse or whatever else they can do with them.
But are many people, like you say, that people can't look after them anymore, but... Do many people have a pig or a sheep? Oh, I suppose a sheep. But as a friendship animal?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people do have sheep. If they have like small acreage, they think they're getting a couple of sheep might keep their grass down, and you'd kind of need a few to sort of help with the maintenance and whatnot. So then they're looking for a home for them. Pigs, a lot of people are moving out to the country. People are taking a lot of pigs. There's a lot of uses for pigs as a farm management point of view, rejuvenating soil. So you can sort of put them around different areas to sort of mix up your soil, and their manure helps growing all sorts of things, patches, grass.
Natural digger machine.
So you can just move them around, and they use their noses to push everything up, and then you move it into a different paddock, and there you can plant some stuff.
Didn't know that one. Now, Saskia, we need to talk about the financial side of it, because everything needs money, so you'd like volunteers, wouldn't you? You'd like sponsors as well.
Yeah, we've recently launched a sponsorship drive to get local businesses and individuals interested in sponsoring one of the dog pens or one of the cat enclosures that we're opening up. So that would just be an annual donation towards a particular pen, and that sponsor would get their name on the plaque of the pen, acknowledging their contribution, and we would feature them on our social media. So, you know, these things work both ways.
And I guess one of the things too, they can come up and see what's in their
absolutely.
Little pen, can't they?
Yeah, we invite businesses to come up for like a team building day. You can bring your staff to spend a day on this at the sanctuary and just help out. We had Deloitte's come last week, and a group from Melbourne Uni the week before, and it's a fantastic opportunity.
So they just come up and get their hands dirty.
Yeah, and they love it. They love getting up from behind the computer screen.
Deloitte's and that up there, would it be?
Oh, they absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
These would be people who normally wear the shirt and tie and the pinstripe suit and all that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they go home exhausted but really happy and often come back again. So, yeah, we'd love a bit more community you know, support going forward, because, yeah, we've only been at Gladysdale for about 3 years, so a lot of people still haven't heard about us.
Well, I'd never heard of you, to be quite honest, until we got the bit of information about yourself. And we're with Lachlan and Saskia, and we're talking all about the Forever Friends Animal Rescue Service. You should look that up. It's the 3ws.foreverfriends.org.au, and see what they're up to, and you may very well want to become a volunteer. All right, Saskia or Lachlan, whichever one wants to answer, I want a dog or a cat or a horse. Well, can't have a horse. I don't live in that sort of place. I want to adopt an animal. Now, obviously, you're a rescue service, but you want to make sure that animal's going to go to somewhere that's not going to be mistreated. So what happens if I rock up and say, hey, I want to adopt a dog?
So we ask everyone to go to the website primarily and just see the biographies of the various animals we have up for adoption. You click on their lovely photo and read about them, and if you think you're a good match, we get you to fill out an online application, which just tells us a lot about, you know, your lifestyle, what sort of size yard you have, if you work from home or if you're a full-time worker. And then if you're a good match for that particular animal, we have a in-person meet and greet. So you would travel perhaps to the foster carer's place or to the sanctuary and spend some time getting to know the animal and vice versa. And then you are asked to give us your decision on a potential adoption the next day. We don't put anyone on the spot and say, you know, you've got to tell us at the end of 30 minutes if you want the animal. You go home and have a think about it. And all our animals go out also on a four-week trial. So if it doesn't work out, we are happy to take them back for a full refund, because, you know, we love them. We want to make sure the best thing happens for them.
All right, so maybe I've missed something here. So they're up at the at your farm, and so do all animals go out to foster people in between? Like, is there that step, or do some of them actually get adopted straight out of where you're at your place?
Some would be adopted from the sanctuary directly, but the vast majority of all the dogs and cats in our care, which would be hundreds, are in private foster homes all over Victoria. But, yeah, mostly in the Melbourne area.
So the person would then go to that person's house, would they, after they filled out this adoption?
Yeah, if it's a dog, they might meet at a park. So you don't have to go to each other's home. But it's just important for everyone to meet in person, to get to know that animal and see really how bouncy they are or how quiet they are and the size and energy level.
Yeah, because you don't want them to get home and then find out that it's too feisty for that family, do you?
Exactly.
Or too quiet.
Exactly.
There's some really tragic stories with animals. So we're coming up to Christmas. Everybody loves a kitten. So they see this little kitten, not at your place, we'll say this, it's down the shop or it's on Facebook and that, they buy a kitten or a little puppy, and then the kitten turns into a cat, and then all the dog or the puppy that was so cute gets into a bigger dog. Do you find after Christmas or sort of about midway next year that a whole lot of people say, I don't want this anymore, and dump animals?
Yeah, it's particularly grim for adult cats in pounds and shelters.
Is it?
Yeah, so adult cats are at much higher risk of being killed if they're stray or impounded than dogs.
Right.
So it's really horrific what happens to cats as opposed to kittens. Kittens tend to get out of those facilities alive, but yeah, the number of cats that are that do die in our current pound and shelter system is really horrific, and a lot more needs to be done to address that and to really encourage people to have their pets desexed.
So what happens when you... Yeah, we should mention that, have them desexed. What happens when you take in some kittens and they're around for a while and they become cats? What happens to them? Can you still get an adoption, or do you find that people don't want to adopt the male or the bigger cats?
We do still get them adopted, however long it takes. We've had cats in care for 3-4 years even, but, you know, they're with us as long as they need. And actually during COVID lockdowns, we saw some adult cats just running out the door, you know, to great families who'd been thinking about adopting for a long time but decided, you know, during lockdown was a good time to do it. So it was fantastic for adult cats the last sort of 18 months.
Do you think, and this is probably a hard question, do you think that some people then, when they come out of lockdown, will say, oh, no, that was good for that now, and the poor old animal gets a heave-ho?
Yeah, look, it'll definitely be happening. We're seeing quite a few requests come from the public to surrender dogs now. So they've bought a what we call a COVID puppy, and now it's a year or 18 months old, and it's just too much.
And they can go back to work, and they can get out, they don't want to look after.
So, we're getting a few of those come through now, but look, at least they're doing the right thing. They're not dumping them on the street. They're trying to find a rescue or another home for them. So,
very sad, isn't it?
It is.
Very sad. We're talking for Forever Friends Animal Rescue. We've talked about their website, the 3ws.foreverfriends.org.au. But you can also send you, they can send you an email, can't they? info@foreverfriends.org.au.
Yeah,
that's info@foreverfriends.org.au. And I guess we've been talking about, there's three different ways people can help you, aren't they? Volunteers. Lachlan's looking for a lot of volunteers to help him. Saves him doing all the work. Siska, you're looking for sponsors because you want sponsors to keep the place open. And we should mention, what size property did you say you start off with first?
Oh, we were on 9 acres originally near Emerald, and then we moved to 50 acres at Hillsville, and now we're on 100 acres at Gladysdale.
So obviously it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. So I guess there's more sponsors, because whatever pens you've got now, later on you're going to want to extend it or have more, aren't you?
I think the need's only ever going to keep increasing. Yeah, when I started the organisation, I just wanted to help 5 animals at a time. That's my famous last words.
And we've probably got more than that.
Yeah,
in your own
we've
house.
Got about more than 500 animals in care across Victoria. So,
true.
Yeah.
Well, can a person, as a sponsor, say, look, I don't want my name on anything? Do you just want people also to volunteer money? Because these animals cost a lot of money to feed, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. We have some anonymous donors that just want to help and don't want that public recognition, and that's completely up to them. Yeah.
But you'd like more, obviously.
Absolutely. We're always desperate for people to consider including us in things like their wills as well. A lot of animal lovers, you know, want to make sure that, their care and concern for animals goes on beyond.
Because every now and again you read the paper, don't you, where someone's left $500,000 to the RSPCA or some organisation. So I guess you'd be happy to receive $500,000, wouldn't you?
I think we would. And I think the thing that I also say to people, if you are wanting to donate a reasonable sum, is that if you choose a volunteer-run organisation like us, you can be assured every cent goes directly to the animals. It's not going to go to fancy offices or company cars. It goes exactly where it has to go.
Feeding and housing the animals, isn't it? So, Lachlan, I guess you're also a bit of a fan of, well, you've given up a paid job to go and volunteer, so you've got to obviously believe that this is the way to go. So I guess you're looking for more volunteers to come in and help you with the load.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Everyone's more than welcome to come out. I'd normally suggest that people either contact us or myself through the websites you've mentioned. Normally suggest that they come out just for like half hour tour, just have a walk around and have a chat to me and meet everyone that's up there and just see what they have to offer.
And somebody can come for half a day or a day?
Absolutely, yeah. And I guarantee you won't just come for half a day. So everyone just, yeah, stays a full day or they're always coming back. So, yeah, we always make everyone feel welcome. And, yeah, if anyone wants to come up and have a look and have a chat and see what we're doing, they're more than welcome.
Well, I guess the other thing too is that apart from needing the volunteers, I mean, who feeds the animals? So do you have the volunteers, apart from building stuff as you're going along, also come up and feed? And
yeah, absolutely, yeah. We have a few main sort of people that come up throughout the week, and right. People, if they get a day off work, they'll come up and help out. It is a lot of work feeding the animals every day. It doesn't matter if it's raining or if it's 40 degrees, they still need feed and water and shelter.
Someone was saying, oh, I guess a horse is probably the same, someone was saying that a dog is one of the major animals that can't feed itself. Like a cat can grab a bird, or a bird can bird seed. And,
yeah,
you know.
Okay. Yeah.
But someone was saying the other day that a dog is one of the few animals that if you don't feed, it's going to die, because it doesn't have any ability. There's no creatures that it can grab.
Well, it depends where the dog is, I guess.
But they don't, like, a cat can grab a bird.
That's right. Yeah, a dog in the average backyard can't do much.
Can't do anything. So, I mean, we've got... And, of course, with all these things, we need to look after the hot weather. I'd be going to the 3wsforeverfriends.org.au. Look it up, and if you've got the can volunteer, terrific. But if you've got a few extra dollars, why not throw it their way, because you know it's going to go looking after animals. Thank you, Saskia and Lachlan, for being with us.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for having us.
We look forward to talking to you again sometime.